This is Unladylike. I'm Kristen. And you know that old cliche, time heals all wounds? Well, no, it doesn't. And also, why is there not a follow-up cliche with a hint about how to pass that time a little bit quicker so that we can get to the other side of that wound, to the healing part, you know what I mean? Because that's the toughest part, right? The passage of time. The wishing, the waiting, the hoping. We want to get out of those feelings as fast as possible. But, you know, as far as I know, there's no pillow at Home Goods with a surefire way to make that happen. Today is another installment of Ask Unladylike, where I answer listeners' questions with a combination of scholarly research and personal oversharing. And the theme of this Ask Unladylike is breakups. I promise, friends. This episode has a happy ending, and that happy ending does not involve a committed monogamous heterosexual relationship. So how about them apples? Because all I can think of is cliches today. I'm honestly surprised that it's taken this long to talk about breakups in more depth on the podcast, since they are happening all the time. And to quote the study, Romantic Breakup, Difficult Loss for Some, But Not for Others, the disillusion of a romantic relationship is one of the most distressing losses an adult experiences. And I'm quoting that from an academic source in case anyone out there needs their feelings validated. Breakups fucking suck, okay? And they hurt. And they can also be the very best things that ever happened to us. I'm going to anonymize all of our letter writers today, since we are talking about sensitive matters of the heart. But to distinguish between our anons, I'm going to use a random name generator. And letter number one is from someone we're calling... beep boop bop boop 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 boop. Paisley. Paisley. Okay. They emailed Unladylike subject breakup struggles. Paisley writes, I will just get into it. I'm in the middle of ending a 4-year relationship. It's pretty fresh. I know I'm making the right decision. We got together as needy young college students in our early 20s who didn't think our combined baggages would clash. I could go into how I realized that, like other relationships, I was attracted to him because I wanted him to fill a gap in me. Ooh, I can relate, Paisley. He's not a bad guy, but we both began to believe I could save him, in addition to me working through my own struggles. This breakup didn't come out of the blue. I've been thinking about it for months. I realized that I would be better off single than with someone who is intimidated by my success and progress. It caused a lot of fights and broken trust. Unlike previous relationships, I'm more comfortable with this breakup because I'm surrounded by an incredible support system and I have a better understanding of my strengths, graduating from grad school being one of them. Okay, pew, 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 pew. How do you embrace singleness, loving yourself, and self-esteem in the wake of a breakup? Therapy, hanging out with friends, and Ariana Grande in constant replay is only bringing me so far. Okay, Paisley, this is a classic question. And first of all, congrats. Truly, you have exited a relationship, a long-term relationship, that you realized wasn't working for you anymore. And you were doing all of that while getting yourself through grad school. From the outside looking in, you've already done the hardest part. You are in the phase of readjustment, of a form of relationship withdrawal. And I say withdrawal because the neurochemistry of love and relationships is similar to that of any kind of pleasurable thing that we ingest in our lives, whether that be drugs or delicious food or, yes, tasty relationships. You have had this relationship in your life for the past 4 years, and it is going to take a bit to get used to that. And it sounds like you have your headspace and your life space in a good place to make this transition and not get back together again, which it sounds like you do not want to do. And I want to refer back to that study I cited just a few minutes ago. Romantic disillusions can be opportunities for us to regulate emotions, cope with relational stress, and pursue relationships that fulfill our needs. People who have gone through romantic breakups also report learning lessons about love, trust, compromise, balance, communication, and timing of physical intimacy. Paisley, in your letter, you describe a relationship where you were attempting to save him, and being then single would likely feel very alien to you. After a significant relationship like this, there's some stuff that you're going to need to process, and that's okay. And there is no shortcut, you know? And on ladies, that's going to come up in a later letter this episode. I wonder if you are putting a little too much pressure on yourself to get happy with it all, get readjusted already, since the breakup was something that you had been thinking of for a while. You say it did not come out of the blue, but thinking about it and actually being on the other side of it are two very different experiences. And from the sound of it, truly, you have everything going for you. You have a support system. You got through the monumental feat of graduate school. Like, I think that maybe something that could take you a little further is thinking a little bit more about taking care of yourself. Yes, you've been achieving. You have been caring for someone else. And I wonder how much you have been truly, truly, genuinely caring for yourself and considering your own feelings and desires. This is not novel advice, but it bears suggesting, don't pursue dating for a bit. If you want to get some, get some. But dating? Maybe lay off. Paisley? Have a little Paisley time. You know what I mean? And that wasn't a masturbation euphemism, but by all means, have a little Paisley time too. There is a whole 3-part Unladylike series, How to Live Single, all about singlehood. Go listen or re-listen or re-re-listen. And, you know, then you can get back to Ariana Grande. I bet Ariana Grande would have some really good tips about getting over breakups. What would her advice be? Like, don't date Pete Davidson. Our next letter is from an unlady we're calling Random Name Generator. Beep, boop, 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 boop. Apollonia. Ooh, very regal. All right. So the majestic Apollonia emailed Unladylike with one of my favorite subject lines of all time. What's even the point of dating and relationships? Emphasis mine. Apollonia writes, I was broken up with in a really unfortunate way. After meeting my ex-boyfriend in a serendipitous, could only happen in a 2020 COVID-19 kind of way, I went from New York to San Francisco to spend a couple of months with him to make our relationship work. I had the flexibility to work remotely and knew I wanted to leave New York anyway for LA, so the timing was right. After a week, he broke up with me, and 2 weeks later was already dating someone else. Apollonia, I hate him. I don't know if he was physically cheating on me, but I suspect he was talking to her while we were still together and long distance. It's taken a lot of work to get over it. I feel better now, but still feel shame and embarrassment over the situation, as I'm usually pretty private about my dating life, and people knew my plans. I also can't help but think about what makes her better than me. It's been a journey. At this point, I find myself disillusioned with relationships. What's the point of having a partner? What's the point of trying? Sure, I enjoy hooking up as much as the next person, but I seem to have this block now that I can't get over. I'm finally in LA, got a great apartment, I'm employed, but dating feels like a stressor. Have I just matured to the point where relationships just aren't for me? Or am I missing something that makes them worth my time? I feel like no one ever really talks about why it's worth putting yourself out there. Thanks in advance. Love the show! ! Apollonia asks a question I think is healthy for all of us to ask. What is even the point of dating and relationships? And yes, I am married. Okay? Like, in any long-term relationship, yeah, I said any. I'm making a broad generalization here. There will likely come a time when you ask yourself, what is even the fucking point? And it's really, 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 really much better to have asked and answered that question before anything is legally binding. I will say that. I think we take dating and relationships, not even to mention marriage, so much for granted in our culture that not a ton of critical thinking goes into, wait, why? What is this for? What am I wanting out of all of this? And Apollonia, I want to also share with you that I feel you. I have been cheated on, and I felt completely fucking humiliated by it. You know, like what you say about feeling embarrassed, partly because you told people your plans and you're usually pretty private and low key. And it's like, now people know about it. And they know that I moved across the country for this guy who turned out to be an asshole. And don't I look like an idiot? And the thing is, Apollonia, you don't. Like, there is no way you could have controlled for his behavior. You could have known better. This is unfortunately a shitty dude who did a shitty thing. And guess what? Odds are he's going to cheat on that girl too. And this is all reminding me that Unladylike has also never done an episode on non-monogamy. So if y'all want to hear that, do let me know. But all of this to say, like, I hope that you can see that you have nothing to be ashamed of. It was already on the books for you to leave New York and get to the West Coast, and you just hit a bump along the way to LA, and one that maybe recalibrated things for you ultimately in a good way. I mean, I don't know all of the background, but like, let's say that things ended up working out with you two, maybe you'd still be in San Francisco. Maybe you wouldn't be having this whole new adventure and feeling what comes across on the page, at least, as a sense of autonomy and empowerment. And I suspect that the block that you are describing of not wanting to pursue dating relationships is just getting over your trust being really violated. Research confirms that romantic relationships that dissolve due to dishonesty or cheating are often the hardest to get over. On top of that, research confirms that the person who is broken up with versus the breakup initiator usually has the harder time getting over it. Those are double whammies, to be both unceremoniously dumped and also what? He's dating someone 2 weeks later? Insult to injury. Like, what the fuck? And it's okay if you've had a ton of personal growth, but you still don't feel like fucking dating because you got a little bit burned. There is absolutely nothing, I don't think, with you simply not wanting to date and asking yourself whether a long-term relationship is even what you want, full stop. I also loved the specificity of your questions, Apollonia, of what is the point of having a partner? What is the point of trying? Am I missing something that makes it worth my time? And two words came to mind, two very, very nerdy words. The first word is pronatalism, which refers to the prioritization and promotion of childbearing and reproduction above all else. For example, child tax breaks, or, you know, the entire anti-abortion movement that's very pronatalist, or, you know, state policies enacted because they're freaking out about lower birth rates. It's all about have those babies, have those babies, have those babies. And as far as the cultural assumption of partnering up, to me, the only practical point of any of it is kids, is to make babies. If you are sexually fulfilled, emotionally fulfilled, mentally fulfilled, not wanting for companionship, and all of those, you know, all of those sort of emotional qualities that we ascribe to romantic love, if you're not interested in that, the point? I mean, unladies, tell me what you think, but my question back to you is like, well, maybe if you want kids one day and I hear that having a partner can help ease that caregiving burden, but otherwise I draw a blank. I don't know if there are any Real Housewives of Salt Lake City unladies out there, but as Meredith Marks would say, you're disengaging from the dating conversation. And that can be a perfectly healthy boundary to draw for yourself. That is a valid choice to choose as well, which brings me to the second nerdy term that came to mind after reading your letter, and that is a mononormativity. Say what? Huh? A mononormativity. So this is a term that was coined by philosopher Elizabeth Brake that I learned while reading past unladylike guest Angela Chen's book, Ace, What Asexuality Reveals About Desire, Society, and the Meaning of Sex. We interviewed Angela as part of our How to Live Single series, and I want to play y'all a clip of her describing what a mononormativity is.
This idea that a central, you know, exclusive romantic relationship is preferable for all humans and is something that we all should have. I think most of us have been conditioned so that we want romantic relationships. And then so when we see someone else that doesn't, it's like, oh, wait, what do they know that I know that I don't know? Or, you know, what's wrong with them? Like, are they lacking emotional receptors that, you know, everyone else has? I think everywhere, like the smallest ways of talking to people, obviously books and movies, we see this idea that if you, not only if you're single, but if you don't want relationships, that you can't connect to other people, as if romantic relationships are the only way of connecting to other people. And so we just absorb that and look askance at our friends who have never been interested or aren't interested in romantic relationships.
A mononormativity, in other words, is the shoulding of romantic relationships, that we should necessarily want to partner up, that we should want to pursue dating, that we should want to invest so much time into swiping and waiting and watching those little bubbles on your phone pop up and then disappear when that person has decided, no, they're not going to text you back. And that it's not even a question of whether it's worth all of our time, right? And at the end of your letter, Apollonia, you ask, have I just matured to the point where relationships aren't for me? Or am I missing something that makes them worth my time? Apollonia, unfortunately, those are two questions that only you can answer. But it sounds like you don't want to date right now. And you know what? If you want to give a middle finger to our pronatalist, a mononormative society, and just say, I'm not dating right now, then that's totally fine. And honestly, Apollonia, from your description of it, you kind of sound like you're at the beginning of a rom-com. Because she's a driven woman who moved across the country for a guy who turned out to be a bag of dicks. But she kept on moving, got to LA, has a sweet apartment, and still has a job. I mean, hello? The Apollonia story starring Jennifer Lopez coming soon to theaters. Our third and final letter this episode comes from an unlady we're going to call, generate a name, beep boop boop, Tamara. Tamara, Tamara, I love ya, Tamara. Okay, Tamara writes, I was an almost 20-something who had her heart broken by someone. I was still studying and so in love with the idea of being in love. Oh, Tamara, I've been there too. He was, after all, my first everything. In the end, I was told that I was a bet for, quote, bragging rights. Oh, my God. I don't know if I hate him more than I hate the guy in San Francisco. I think I hate this guy more. Yep. Okay. This story is not about him, though. Oh, good. It's about the person that came after. The rebound, as we call it. He tried to carry me away from all my pain. He tried to make me believe that love does exist. I always thought this was a myth, that rebounds are not meant for permanent stays. 2 years later, I married the rebound. And now, this myth goes off in my head like firecrackers at random times. Boom. And I jump at the thought because it's just so shocking that I did this, and I am in this now. I am in this now with 2-year-old twins and a father that tries very hard to do the best he can. He is a good man, a good person. So how do I tell the person that quote-unquote put me back together that I think I don't love him, not the way he loves me, and that I probably never have loved him the same? How do I break up the family life we've built for our kids? All the married life speeches from so-called experts around me always say the same things. Marriage is hard work. Communication is key. Respect each other. Grow and learn together. But what about chemistry? What about happiness? What about change? What about laughter? What about sex! Exclamation point. I feel strong as an ox. I don't want comfort in easy days. I don't want to be just an old pair of sweatpants. But I can't back out now. It's a vow. It's a ring. It's a promise. It's lives. It's just regret. Now, y'all, even though Tamara didn't ask any specific question, I had to share this letter and answer it for one thing, because Tamara, I married the rebound too. Technically speaking, y'all remember that guy I was telling Apollonia about who cheated on me? Well, right after that, I started dating the person who became my husband, and there was very little time in between. And it was a bit messy. It was arguably ill-advised timing, and there was healing that I had to do for myself while in a relationship, which also was not easy and did require some professional therapy for sure. But I did it, and I'm saying that to you, Tamara, partly because I think that there is a little bit of shame and stigma around that. You know, for the very fact that there's a whole cliche of rebounds are not meant for permanent stays. Like, I get that. Yeah, it's good to be able to spend time by ourselves. And I was not in a place where I knew how to be alone with myself. And I also know that when I actually started, like, dating my husband, there was no way I was going to stop. There was no way I was going to give myself a break because it did feel like I was brought back to life. I was reminded of worth that I thought had been just fully lost. And it didn't magically make the hurt and all of the lingering shame over being cheated on and betrayed, it didn't make that evaporate magically, but the two things can coexist. And Tamara, I'm emphasizing this also because I think that you are hinging a lot on this being a rebound and marrying the rebound being your fatal mistake. And that if you could unwind that, if you can extricate yourself from this marriage, then that will be the thing that fixes you. You say that the story is not about your ex, that it's about your husband. But really, Tamara, the story is about you. And whatever happens with your marriage, that's still going to be the case. I don't know what kind of access to therapy you have. I think it would help to just work through that really early fuckery that you went through with that guy who ended up calling you just bragging rights. Like, that's gross and that sucks. And if I'm doing my math correctly, you were pretty young. You're still really young. And one of the wildest things to me about marriage is the fact that, I mean, I say this optimistically, like, we don't stagnate and stay the same people that we are the day of our wedding, you know? We continue to grow and change, ideally. And no, I am not in the camp of stay together, whatever the cost, okay? Divorce is an option, Tamara, but we'll get back to that in just a second. What I hope you are able to do, Tamara, before you make any major decisions about your relationship is to check in with yourself and the healing that you can do. It's like campground rules, you know? Leave someplace cleaner than the way that you found it. What would that look like in your marriage? I'm not saying that you have to work on your husband, make him feel okay about everything, but you and the way that you want to be in the world and this strong as an ox person that you want to fully embody and charge ahead and drink every last drop out of life, I think it has to start where you are in your relationship. And that is a really good practicing ground as you either exit that and transition to the next or stay and transition to the next phase of this relationship, which clearly needs some kind of fix. You're miserable. You're depressed. You are convinced that if you had just said no at some point, that your circumstances would be totally different and you'd probably be happier and more fulfilled. And the thing is, you don't know that. And because you don't know that, you can give yourself a little bit of grace. And as far as your questions of how to even approach that conversation, again, I would highly recommend, if it is at all possible, to find a relationship therapist, marriage counselor, person who can give you those tools to do that. And I think you need to get clear ultimately on what you want to hear from him. You know, if you're just not interested and you're done, that is okay. Truly, divorce is not going to ruin your two kids' lives. I know I've been plugging old episodes of Unladylike, but just go back and listen to episode 139, Ask Unladylike, Divorce and Dress Codes. We heard from so many children with divorced parents who reiterated over and over and over again that the damaging thing was living with two parents in conflict, two parents who do not like each other. Like, divorce can be a good thing. You close your letter saying, I cannot back out now. It's a vow, it's a ring, it's a promise, it's lives, it's just regret. It's also you, though, Tamara. I would also suggest reframing that from backing out, because you're not going back. You might be plowing forward, okay? Getting back to our ox analogy, like, I don't think you're backing out anywhere. I don't hear beep, 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 beep. I'm hearing that's what a bulldozer sounds like, FYI. I might be telling you all the things that you already know. And this is also my own personal exercise in sharing a little bit of my truth, which is that, yes, friends, technically I married the rebound and I love him very much. And the reason I think that rebounds aren't supposed to stick around is that you usually have a bit of healing to do when you end a relationship. And serial monogamy, whatever you want to call it, yes, that can certainly be an indicator of, you know, underlying patterns that we could all look into. But your entire life is not made or broken in this relationship. Tamara, marrying the rebound, you gotta forgive yourself. You did the best with what you had at the time, and that's okay. Unladies, as for the happy ending I promised at the beginning of this episode, we have finally arrived. And Tamara, you especially, listen up to this, because if you think all is hopeless, you need to listen to Melanie, okay? Melanie is an unladylike listener who I have thought of ever since 2020 in our COVID call-in episode, How to Feel Your Pandemic Feels. And truly, y'all, I really did not plan for this to be some kind of clips show. It's just how it shook out. Here's a little clip of where Melanie was at in the spring of 2020.
I'm doing pretty well. I did have two jobs. I now have one job and have a four-year-old who's now not at childcare anymore, so is pretty much at home with me 24/7. The main sort of difference I've seen is that the whole change in situation has exacerbated a lot of issues that already existed in my marriage. So, yeah, we're just sort of navigating through that and it's been interesting.
And ladies, I thought about Melanie and her call regularly. You can just hear it in her voice, the place that she's in. And, oh, I just wanted to reach through Zoom and, I don't know, what could we do? Bump elbows? I was going to say give her a hug with a mask on, but no, that would not have been allowed. And y'all, I'm pretty sure I fully squealed when last fall, completely unprompted, Melanie reached back out with an update. And just for context, Melanie went back and listened to her call-in on that 2020 episode and then wrote us this. When I called up, I was feeling the strain of being home with my husband all the damn time and feeling frustrated at the imbalance of caring for our then 4-year-old. She's now 7. What is time? At the time, we were living in Sydney, then moved to Canberra, and things did not improve even as lockdowns came and went and our work and school situations changed. We did couples counseling for about 8 months and eventually decided earlier this year to separate fairly amicably. And OMG, it was the best decision! Exclamation point. We're from Melbourne, and I knew I wanted to move home. He's in the Navy, so goes away frequently, so it's not as if staying in Canberra would mean our daughter would get to alternate who she lived with. So I got him to agree to that, and she and I moved interstate, hopefully for the last time in a long time. I don't know what it's like in the U.S., probably bad. But here, both parents have to agree to any interstate move, and if he hadn't agreed, I would have been forced to live wherever he lived. So, phew. Actually, there we go. There's a question. How do I show my daughter that I'm so much happier since we separated while balancing helping her have a good relationship with her dad? He's not a terrible person. We just bugged each other and fell out of love. And while there's been some small nastiness, in general, the separation is going well so far. Side note, she's 7 and amazing and such a fierce feminist and cares so passionately about justice and caring for the planet, and she is going to change the world. Sorry for the long email. I just felt like writing. Y'all, Melanie did it. Melanie worked it out. She worked herself out of that marriage. And to quote, it was the best decision! Exclamation point. I was so happy to hear this. I was so proud of Melanie. And, you know, to her question of how do I show my daughter I'm so much happier while also helping her have a good relationship with her dad, I think you're probably already showing her. I mean, you're glowing just through email, Melanie. And I don't think that you even necessarily have to connect the dots for her between your happiness and divorcing her father, unless she remarks on it and asks you, like, why are you so happy these days? Also, unladies listening, if you have advice, please, please, please DM or email me. But it just brings me so much joy. And it sounds like you're already doing it. And your daughter sounds amazing. Thank you for helping raise the next generation of unladies. And to you all unladies listening, I hope that Melanie's update is some reassurance that shit can be really draining and awful, and it can also be temporary. That positive change is a possibility, and that we can surprise ourselves by our resiliency and all of the things we have yet to discover, whether that's internally or externally, single or in a relationship. Running away from it doesn't solve your problems. It just maybe buys you a little time before it takes you completely off guard. Just ask my therapist. If you have any Ask Unladylike advice requests or questions, I am all ears. You can email me at hello@unladylike.co. You can DM me on Instagram @unladylikemedia. And you can also follow me on Twitter and TikTok @unladylikemedia. You can also send voice memos if you don't want to email stuff. You can send me voice memos on Instagram or email them to me. I love to get your questions, whatever's on your mind. And if you all heard stuff from this episode that you have advice on, please share that as well. And if Unladylike matters to you, please consider becoming an Unladylike patron. It makes a huge difference. It is $5 a month. You get an extra bonus episode every week, full interviews with some of our featured guests, and truly my undying love. So head over to patreon.com/unladylikemedia and become a patron today. Help ensure the future of Unladylike, because in this economy, it's tough out there for a podcast. Okay? Oh, Bruce is on the mic. What is it, Pooch? Okay, well, I just got to do credits. Unladylike is a Starburns Audio production, executive produced, written, and hosted by me, Kristen Conger. Aristotle Acevedo is our executive producer and engineer. Catherine Caligori is our associate producer. Our music is by Flamingo Shadow, Amit May Cohen, and Sarah Tudson.
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.